Good afternoon. Today is Friday, March 16th, 98th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, economic planner Arnie Herskovic. Hey, guy.
Hi, Brian. Good to see you.
Did you run into a wall there?
A wall of water, maybe. Oh, no.
The bullseye on your forehead.
The bullseye on my forehead. Just a little scratch.
Oh, okay.
But the water on the way over here, I was telling Aaron, I could barely see going up Myrtle Avenue a few minutes ago. Such a squall came down.
There was a little bit of down, and then there was a little bit of horizontal, too.
That sure was.
It's a little vertical and horizontal, just to keep you honest.
Well, we got to get back closer to the 100% mark on rainfall. So
yeah, not today, though.
And all in one day. Not all in one day, hopefully.
Geez. So, do you got any official news about American Airlines?
I spoke with Greg this morning.
We had
It's very close.
We'll talk about how close and where we are and all kinds of other stuff too when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. But before we do, I'm not going to do a sunshine quote. It just kind of seems
today's not the right day.
Counterintuitive at this point. All right, here we go. Our quote of the day comes from Yarrell Nehru.
Oh,
the art of people is a true mirror to their minds.
Very nice. Very nice.
Explains why finger painting was about where I maxed out, huh?
It's been a while, huh?
Not long enough.
Although the preschool business, I understand, is doing rather well in the county. It's a
good
burgeoning industry.
Good. That would mean that they're young families.
Yeah, there's more young families. They're expecting a bit of a pop in the enrollment at kindergarten level, I've been told, in the next few years.
So, just as a quick deviation, why are young people staying here?
Well, they must have some kind of work keeping them here, I would imagine.
That's what I'm thinking as well, but I'm looking around. Boy, you want a disturbing... I heard on the Wall Street Journal one of the small morning reports, so I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday. And then we found out Pew Research, 30% of all 25 to 34-year-olds are living at home.
I believe it.
61% of all American adults either have in their house or have a friend or relative who has a 25 to 34 living in their house.
Wow. That's a big number.
I've been all day.
Wow.
I don't know. It's a disturbing figure for me.
I think it's referred to as the rebounders.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, the rebound is kind of the, you know, coming out of college and stuff.
Yeah. Mine, unfortunately, are 700 miles away and 300 miles away, so they're not nowhere close to the house.
3 feet and seven feet, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, you're out of step.
Yeah.
Or they are.
It's pretty quiet, too, I got to admit.
Yeah. So maybe that's part of what's going on there, but that figure is just...
That's an amazing number. 6 out of 10 kids are... somehow connected still to the home front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it tells you there's not enough opportunities possibly in those categories for them to break loose.
Well,
or other factors.
Because we all know that there are positions available in the Midwest because the unemployment level is so very low.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a desire not to leave.
Well, you got to figure too. That's true, Brian. Maybe they don't want to relocate. Maybe they're just too tied to where they like. They like where they live too much to want to go very far. And these days, you do have to travel further, as you can tell, to get gainful employment. So, but you have to be very flexible because there's a lot of transfers going on too. People are transferred all over the place.
Makes it interesting.
It certainly does.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm tired of interesting.
So keep that square footage.
Give me mundane. Give me just predictable anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So what are you hearing about American Airlines?
Well, it looks very good at this point, I would say. It looks very, very good. I mean, the fact is they are scouting our airport out, is my understanding, and looking at, where to set up and in services and all that sort of thing.
Oh, which are the counters and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. So that's a very good indicator, among others. The county certainly has to come up with the final agreement, and I think that's being worked on is very
Literally
as
now,
we speak, yeah. So that's very, very close to being handled. And, of course, it has to be ratified by the Board of Supervisors. But those things, you know, all the planets are lining up very well at this point for American Airlines. They have the equipment ready to go, which is good. A lot of times you don't have the planes available. They have the jet service, you know, that will be available to us. They're already looking at dates. And that tells me, you know, if you're looking at calendars and you're looking at, you know, setup and you're looking
Is mid-June accurate?
That's what I understand.
Okay.
That's what I understand. I'm not, you can't hold people to that because, you know, things can happen between now and then.
But that's what I've heard from a
target,
couple.
That's their target date. That's my understanding. Somewhere around mid-June, July 1, somewhere in there. And that's not far away. That's very close at hand.
So as this is boiling down to the basics, one of the things that I had hesitation with mm-hmm. was this concept that, and I talked with Jackie DeShelf for a little bit, who's on the Headwaters board. And I think she seconded or she raised the idea herself, this concept of a minimum guarantee per month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe if you're in a big market, it's no big deal, or if you can hit it and double it, no big deal. But it was close enough where things like the fact that February has 10% less days.
Oh, yeah.
Could come into play and trigger this automatic here's some free
pop.
Money thing.
Yeah.
Or the lack of a response to the, well, how many communities have you entered into a two-year agreement with that are still paying you and you're no longer there? Those are legit concerns, particularly coming on the heels of what we've experienced in the area in the last little bit. You know, are you here long enough for us to make a run, or are you going to do like a Delta and just bail out a little bit early because this artificially high number that you had, 70%, mm-hmm. was just missed?
Yeah, well, you know, I look at it back in what occurred with Horizon, the Alaska Airlines subsidiary. They were here close to a decade. They had a subsidy. Greg worked on getting a subsidy through REDEC for the first 3 years. That was $500,000 a year subsidy from the FAA, and that subsidy, unfortunately, is no longer available, is my understanding. But in any event, they stayed, you know, much longer than the average. And I think the 2 to 3 year period is the trial balloon period for a new service. If they can make the seat loads, you know, really close to what they're shooting for, then they usually stay quite a bit longer, and our chances of keeping them long term are excellent. But if they don't come too close to them in the first 2 years, that's, as you point out, where the subsidies kick in, and then the decision, you know, corporate decision will come. Will they stay or will they go somewhere? They were here once before, a number of years ago.
Short time.
Very short time. As I recall, I flew on them once to San Jose. That was their hub at that time. They weren't here 18 months, maybe. So, I mean, I don't like even thinking about that because that was a very, very short-lived
experience. But that is part of the decision-making process, I would hope, that the supervisors are looking at.
They certainly are. And this time, the agreement, I'm sure, will be much tighter than the one that was crafted on with the Delta service.
Have you also heard that it's going to be a three-month rolling average?
I haven't heard that.
Okay.
It could be. It could be that that's the case. But, you know, we miss – we were so close even on Horizon. I mean, gosh, we were extremely close.
Yeah, so why did Horizon leave?
I don't really know, honest be honest. I had never heard the final outcome. I don't think they made it too public, but it was so doggone close, you know, within 1% of what they were looking for in that period of time. To me, that's extremely, you know, I don't know how the decision came down to pull the plug at that point. But to me, I thought they were a great carrier. I flew on them many, many times. They were practically full every time, if not full. And, you know, never had a problem. No complaints to speak of. They were on time. Service was great. Connections were great to Los Angeles. So I think anybody I talked to, and I talked to a lot of people, they were very satisfied with them.
KINS, News and Information Times, 424. We'll be back with more from Arnie Herskovic.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
Northwood Chevrolet.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 428. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, as you look at the concept here, if or when, American says yes, the fact that somebody is backfilling in where Delta was or Horizon was, does that automatically put this airport on the radar screen for somebody else?
Brian, you know, my understanding is the competition level is very keen right now for service all over the country. There's like 400 different airports vying for a limited number of carriers that are available. But there are a couple other carriers in California that are currently in service, like Allegiant, which is in the Redding market in the Central Valley. That is a possibility for us. We have the facilities now. We have, you know, the airport's been remodeled. We have room for multiple carriers. We have the runway all, you know, to the safety lengths now. Everything is up to snuff. Security, et cetera. So that's in order. You know,
what about guys like JetBlue and some of those that you hear about or Southwest? Uh-huh. I would think anybody flying into Sacramento or Oakland at least would entertain the thought because of SFO's challenges for the next window. And if they could puddle jump from us to Portland, why not drop in somewhere other than a market that's already being serviced by four or five other carriers?
Well, you know, that makes perfect logic sense. The trouble is that JetBlue and Southwest don't have the little feeder airlines, sort of like the SkyWest types in their Armada. If they did, that would make perfect sense because they have great service. I've flown nonstop on JetBlue from Sacramento to New York, for example, a couple of times. And you can fly on Southwest almost anywhere out of Oakland. So that would make imminent sense. We had one carrier, as you recall, many years ago that flew us to Oakland from here. I can't remember their name. Very short-lived also, and they were, you know, that was the concept, as you just pointed out, get them to the hub, and then, of course, from there they can, you know, branch out almost to any direction. Now, we still need that eastern direction that Delta provided. We still need that pretty badly, so I think we'll get a little bit better connection through the L.A. market, but going direct east would be a big plus into one of the markets in the Midwest.
Yeah, this is either the Salt Lake or
Denver or somewhere, yeah. That's a tough one, though.
Is there enough going the other way? Are there enough people in Salt Lake that want to come to Humboldt County or Denver to Humboldt County to justify the backhaul?
I don't know the answer to that, but I think Delta didn't do too badly in that regard, is my understanding. But then again,
so why'd they bail?
Well, you know, we don't get the answers to that always about on the back end, why things went wrong. They don't like to communicate those things too readily to our markets. I mean, it's...
Was it service? Was it lack of flight? Was it the fees at the airport?
I don't think it's the fees at the airport. I don't think it's the lack of service. But, you know, they try those things out on a trial basis, as we talked earlier, 2 to 3 year period. And they look for both the seat miles and just the overall placement. And what they're looking for in the Salt Lake market, of course, was connectivity to other major service, you know, whether it's to Europe or southern part of the United States or South America, wherever they're going. And they go all over the planet. So... You know, they have to make those decisions, and they like as I mentioned, there's a tremendous amount of competition at the moment for regional air service. So you have to, of course, figure if you don't provide what they're looking for, then the chances are they may not be here for the duration. So we're going to try to provide that. Of course, last time people bought a lot of product from Delta, and, you know, the notion being that we're trying to support that service once again. I think there's going to be a lot of interest in American service.
It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, some of the different challenges that are out there with airlines, I know that it's a specialized industry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's probably as Greek to most of us as automotive financing. Okay, but it still just doesn't quite seem to make sense with all of these various guys feeding these regional hubs.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not easier for us to get to the East Coast, or that somebody isn't going to either Eugene or Portland. But it is, I guess, what it is. But yet now when we're looking and hearing what Crescent City is attempting to do,
mm-hmm.
with United as an extension or somebody else as an extension, either flying north or whatever, how does an airport like Crescent City have a chance if McKinleyville, servicing a much larger population, doesn't have a chance?
Yeah, and it's hard to figure out, Brian, but one thing that Crescent City has, they're building a new airport, is my understanding, up there, a regional airport, the Crescent City Brookings area. And, of course, for the connection to Portland, they should be able to make that one. I think they'll be able to get that service dialed in. So it might be easier for people from here to drive. If that is put in, drive up to Crescent City and take it. But right now, as you know, we have to go south to go north. You have to go to San Francisco first to go to Portland, which is quite a misdirection routing. So to me, that's intuitively not a good idea.
Oh, I think I would drive to Crescent City right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
No delays.
Yeah. I mean,
no issues with the airport itself. What terminal are you flying?
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Portland's such an easy airport.
Oh, and Portland's a great airport. So the reality is, we need service to Portland. We don't have that yet. We're going to need service east, as we've talked about. So those things are still
But Portland has it going east.
Oh, sure.
And Portland, so does Seattle.
Portland, you can go all over the world from Portland.
So there's no need. I think maybe San Francisco is shooting itself in the foot. I don't know.
Well, Horizon, I flew a few times to Portland on Horizon. That was great. I mean, that excellent service either direction, whether you went south or north. I liked Horizon a lot, you can tell. But we do need those services. And hopefully, if the American experience is a very positive one, then we can attract some other regional carriers to get us those gaps in our service.
So other than Allegiant, who else is out there?
As possible. There are other servers, but SkyWest has been talked about. I'm not sure if there are very many others for us at this point. There's only a limited number of providers coming to our market. You're not going to see the JetBlues or the Southwests up here, because once again, they have to have their own feeder to get them into the hubs. I don't know that there are very many others, to be honest with you, that I'm aware of, unless they're new startups. And we had one. That's the one we talked about earlier. The one that went to Oakland was a brand new startup airline, and that's awfully difficult to pull off in this market.
Yeah.
In any market these days, especially with the uncertainties of jet fuel and everything else going on. So, as a business model goes, that's not an easy industry to be in. A number of these carriers, of course, have gone through Chapter 13, reemerged. You have the merger now with United and Continental. That makes it interesting. So it's the playing field. It kind of reminds you of a lot of things. There's only going to be a select few of these providers left. Allegiant's a fairly new provider. Seems to be pretty good from what I understand. Pretty good carrier. The others are, American, United are much better known long-term names. But Allegiant seems to be an up-and-coming new regional carrier, so hopefully they'll give us a look soon.
Yeah, you want to feel old, watch a 70s movie and look, that has an airport in it. All the guys that don't exist anymore, TWAs and Pan Am, Eastern.
Yeah.
Continental.
Trump had an airline, all of them. There are all these airlines, that went south. But it's a tough business to be in. They had their heyday. I think we have to look at other models for our county, smaller businesses to grow for our business environment.
Now, you mentioned that. Who was I talking to? Oh, Wednesday I spent a little bit of time doing a TV thing. And afterwards, we were talking with a couple of folks about the railroad,
the East-West Railroad. Oh, yeah.
What are you hearing about it?
Well, it's an interesting thought. Obviously, not going through the canyon is smart, because the canyon is just a geologic unstable area and very difficult to ever pinpoint and environmentally and otherwise. They haven't really looked at it in great detail in terms of studies, in terms of implementation and cost, et cetera. But two of the problems that strike me with it is not so much building an east-west link. That's costly enough. It's the ongoing operating and maintenance costs associated with running a railroad. Those are the things that are really tough to come up with. Because usually, even if you're able to find that kind of money, and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars here from the feds and the state to build it, who's going to underwrite any subsidies you need to operate and maintain it?
You're saying the ongoing costs.
The ongoing costs. Those things are really hard to come by. That's been my experience over the many years I've been doing this type of work.
Doesn't the fact that the other ports on the West Coast are near capacity?
Yeah, that's true.
And the fact that Humboldt is a day closer to the Orient. Don't those stack up to the point where there would be almost, I wouldn't say automatic, but pretty good likelihood that there would be folks looking here? Because if it's a if it's an extra day, that's big time money for these folks.
Well, it does make sense. I mean, if you can get this east-west connection put together, and it'll take a lot of time, you know, to the port, then your port becomes takes on a whole new light. But in the short term, you know, because this is a very long-term process, maybe the short sea shipping thing makes a lot of sense to implement that. You know, get the terminal in there, get the on the dock and the facilities.
Because that
in
would
place.
Be necessary anyway.
That'd be necessary. That to me makes more sense for the short term. I think the Harbor District is pursuing that. They currently have a study to look at how to implement that. And to me, that makes a lot of sense because these are like hand in glove. If you can get the terminal and the short sea shipping in place and you get the railroad to connect into that and you have the infrastructure in place, then you're right. The ports are all maxed out, Oakland, Long Beach. You know, eventually they're going to need some place to, you know, park their goods, and they're not totally happy with, I understand, with Stockton and Sacramento. So, yeah, there's opportunity there.
So as we look at that, what takes more time, the choo-choo? Or the tugboat?
Well, probably the choo-choo at this point, because you don't, you know, you do have some port infrastructure in place. You do have some, you have dredging done. You have some things, ongoing maintenance, that sort. The railroad is, in the east-west at least, is totally brand new. That's a brand new, you know, you look at all the hoops you have to jump through. The process of designing it and permitting it and regulatory, environmental, constructing it, finding, financing it, of course. Whew, huge undertaking. So, you know, it does make
sense. I would think the pro formas would pencil out on it, though.
Yeah, but over what time frame?
Fair enough.
It would take a long time, maybe, to get it.
But you're not having to look to do ripping out the rails every 10 years because of maintenance. I would think once it's in, as long as you're paying attention and you've put it in a relatively stable ground or you've allowed for whatever shearing up is necessary, is there an awful lot to do, or is it a matter of just kind of paying attention to what's going on and nipping it in the bud before it becomes a significant issue?
Well, it's a safety issue, of course, and maintenance and ongoing, all that kind of stuff. But to outlay the hundreds of millions of dollars we're talking about here, which I don't know how many of them there are, but there's a number of them, you're going to need a super-duper enormous political push at the federal level and the state level combined, you know, on a smaller scale, the kind of the effort that took to get the Willits Bypass through or some other larger project. This is a much bigger one. So this would be a big-time coup if we could pull it off. But
and the feasibility studies at this point are still, do the hustle to get
Those can be done. I'm pretty sure you could get the funding for that. But as far as, you know, getting the implementation money, the startup money, and the ongoing operation and maintenance money. That's what the study's going to have to find out. Where do we get those, and how do we make sure those are in play? You can't go to the general fund of the city and county and ask them for it.
No.
That. That's out of question. And there aren't too many other, you know, sugar daddy sources out there anymore in the scheme of things.
KINS, News and Information Times, 443. We'll be back with more from Arnie Herskovic.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 447. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, you had an opportunity this afternoon to kind of get a little bit of an insight on what's going on in the manufacturing side of things in the area. What sense do you have? I mean, is it happening? Can it happen?
You know, the question that was posed to the panel, Brian, was, is manufacturing dead in Humboldt County? And the resounding answer was, it's alive and well. And this was a smaller scale operators, of course. There's one solar business from the southern Humboldt area that came up and apparently has a product that is in big demand. There's a guitar maker in Arcata, a custom guitar maker apparently, who's also
high-end, limited run stuff. Exactly. Bob Crane was talking about it yesterday when he was on about some of the stuff that's going on. But But I guess when most of us are thinking of manufacturing, we're not thinking of thousands a year or hundreds or tens. We're thinking of manufacturing. I mean,
we're small scale manufacturing here. We're not large scale. I mean, we recognize that as a niche.
Because we have to be, or because that's what we've limited ourselves to be?
Well, let's put it this way. We have not attracted anything too large scale so far. And so the fact of the matter is, if you could spend quite a bit of money and time and energy going after it, but if you're not going to get much in the way of results, you got to recognize what your best foot forward is going to be.
No, but the food guys are doing it on a much larger scale.
Yeah, the beer and beverage people and the food people are
doing. So what's the diff?
Well, the Chevre cheese company is going to expand.
They're going
to expand greatly too in the next several years. So that's good. Those are good local companies. Their product goes all over the country, all over the world. That's wonderful.
Speaking of that, status update on Lost Coast Brewery.
Went through the planning commission, testified myself on Monday night, and a number of other people did. It thumbs up, unanimous vote there. Goes to city council beginning early April. The neighbors, there's a couple neighbors there, of course, who are not totally enamored with the project, but you know, the design review process is coming up. Maybe they can satisfy them through that. I'm hopeful. That's a major step forward. I mean, to get to this point, there's been a heck of a lot of work that's gone into it, a lot of time, energy, and money. But Barbara, I think, is feeling pretty good about the project now and is looking forward to it, seeing to go, you know, hopefully being able to start the project sometime later this year if all goes well.
Two people arguing against, is that enough? Or is it just a real vocal minority?
Well, it just depends, Brian, on how far they pursue the issue. But on the other hand, you know, I'm hopeful, as I mentioned, that things can be worked out with them somehow and that they, you know, the reality is there's some things you can't mitigate. You know, the building is going to be there. However, the community greater good is also there, the jobs, the economic benefits. So let's hope it goes through.
Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.
Rob's